All right, welcome back to Escape from Plan A. Special guest, friend of the pod, Henzi, Dr. Z. How's it going, buddy?
Good to be back again. Wow, this last, it's supposed to be AAPI month. It's supposed to be month of celebration. And guess what? It's been a complete shit show for many reasons as well. There's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to mourn. And there's definitely a lot to talk about and to really reflect on and to be horrified about in the last few weeks, which is part of why I'm here.
All right. Well, it's been a while since we've talked on the pod, so why don't you just give a brief intro about yourself, Dragon Combat Club, and of course, plug in our film project, which you can view online. I guess the easiest way is to find it on YouTube, right?
Yes. But we can't even type. The thing is, when you go on, so the official title is I'm Not an Activist. But yeah. Ironically, when you search I'm Not an Activist on YouTube, you won't find it. You'll find a video of Bobos, which is very ironic. But anyways, you will have to type in Asians Were Killed, Nobody Cared, Now We're Fighting Back. That's the title that will get you to the documentary.
Just look in the show notes. I'll drop a link to the.
Or just click on the link. That works better too. Yeah. Hi, I am Dr. Z. I am one of the original volunteer instructors for Dragon Combat Club. For those of you not familiar with us, when COVID happened, shit hit the fan, people got attacks, and there were a bunch of martial artists who were locked out of their gyms who were very, very angry about it. They weren't just Asian. They were angry about the attacks. They were angry about how, and guess what? They got together and they trained together online. And we made it as productive as possible, and later on, we moved to in-person. And in the last 4 years, I've lost count of how many lives we've saved, how many attacks we've stopped, just by preparing people with situational awareness, giving them training to really boost their reflexes and their fight IQ, and also, of course, giving them access to self-defense tools. Given that, however, Asian Americans are supposed to just lay there and take it, we've been getting a lot of controversy as well, but over time we've figured out, hey, this is who we fuck with, this is who we don't fuck with, and we've also met other sparring groups who have very similar ideas about combat is like. And now DC Dragon Combat Club is part of this bigger community. Recently, we've been giving self-defense classes. Aside from our usual practices, we've been also teaching a lot of women elderly in Flushing at Global Cultural Center. We'll be doing it again this coming Saturday. So you can also check out Global Cultural Center if you want to do our Saturday classes. And there's more, and we'll talk more about that later. And I also have a fun announcement that I'd love to talk about, but I'll save that for at the end of the podcast.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is a case that I guess Safwan Kim, the New York City local television reporter, who's done, he did yeoman's work all throughout the I don't want to say it's over, okay, but I mean when the anti-Asian violence reached a peak, I feel like he was doing a real yeoman's job of being like one of the few voices out there that was trying to get as much media attention around this as possible. And I saw him recently tweet about a case that I don't really remember that well when it happened, maybe because there were just so many things that were happening or because they didn't really, I don't know, maybe there was like, it seems like there was some silence around this, like some intentional. Yes. I don't know.
There was indeed some silence. So,
we should introduce the case, right? And it's why don't you give us a little back? You probably know what happened better than I do, but
Okay. So the video footage is online right now. So if you look up, I'll send the link to Teen, and I think
I'll put it in the show notes too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it on the show notes too, and luckily somebody did a short link of it. If you look at the video, this was Chinatown, October 9th or 10th. It's kind of like the midnight, the morning / night, that kind of thing. It was between those 2 days. It's in Chinatown, I believe 119 Elizabeth Street. Five people, three white dudes, two black dudes, they came down and they basically whipped out their penises and start urinating. Now, this is all in the video. Start urinating. So the building happened to belong to the Ong family. So two of those people in the family, namely Max Ong and John Ong, they came out and, they told them to cut it out. The guys basically called them racial slurs, They whipped their dick out. I think one of them tried to pee on them. I don't remember the exact time frame of that video. And then they tried to call the cops. And you could hear that, you know, when they called the cops, the 911 dispatcher, they just, you know, kept asking him like the same, like really repeated dumb questions. So the cops never really came during this whole argument / altercation. And then one of the guys threatened to shank the Young Brothers. And I think while saying a racial slur. So it became a shoving match. It became a 5-versus-2 fight. Unfortunately,
they call him a chink or something.
Yeah, they call him a chink. Yes, and then they got injured. I think some of them had like broken ribs and whatnot. And then afterwards, after this obviously not so fair fight, the five people
just all on video.
Yes, all right? On video. Yeah. Five of them still walk away, and then one of them goes back into the house, brings a sword, comes out, and then slashes basically one of them, and then I think and then somehow the five disperse when the cops eventually show up.
And that guy got injured or
yes,
or
he got injured. His hands got cut. He alleges nerve damage, but I'm not sure. I mean, but he got, from what they're claiming, they got cut really deep. The cops came and the cops did not arrest the five individuals, did not charge them. There was no warrant for those five individuals, but the two of them got arrested. And the two of them, unfortunately, they tried to find lawyers, and I think they couldn't find one. And when they did, they were A, told to keep silence, and B, pretty much told to plead guilty, which is a huge part of how they're in the situation that we're in now, where we didn't know about this until 2024. Because mind you, this is almost 3 years ago. To date, however, those five individuals have not been charged. The only reason why we know who these five individuals are is because the guy who got slashed, Jeremiah Wilkins, has been suing or trying to sue the Ong family, and his name is on public record. And I am aware of the story of how the other four individuals got ID'd. But that's not because the media got the okay, or because the judges have been treating those five attackers like they are the victims, and I'll talk more about that later. So, yeah. Well,
I mean, technically, they are under this prosecution, right?
Yeah. How you feel about it, of course. You can imagine how we all feel about that, though.
I mean, how do you think they handled it from your perspective?
What do you mean they? I mean, if you're talking about
the Ong brothers.
Okay.
If you were to show this video to your students, what would you say they did right, and what would you say they did wrong?
I mean, they tried to call 911 first, so there's evidence that they tried to do that, right? Because they called down from a safe distance, I think, because I can't really tell when they actually called 911, because the thing is that when they call 911, you can also hear like the threats in the background. So I would tell, like, I wouldn't know exactly the context in which they called it, but I would say, hey, if you're going to call 911, make sure in a safe distance and not while they're screaming at you. That's number one. Number two is the idea of having weapons. The thing is that if you're going to have a weapon to defend yourself, make sure that it is on you. Make sure that you also have the skills to access it in mid-fight. If you're in a situation where you literally have to leave the premise to get a weapon to come back out, it doesn't look good legally. And also logistically speaking, it's like, it's not stopping the attack in the immediacy, which is really what it's best for. So that those are really the main two key points. The other things, you know, in terms of like how they did in the melee fight, like it's 5-on-2. There's just things that could have been done or whatever that I think are best, like not talked about through discussion, but really through live training. But those are me being on this podcast, well, two main things.
The thing I'm very curious about is what you thought about him going back in, getting the weapon, and then going back out and kind of chasing the guy down.
I mean, yeah, I don't recommend it. It's that simple. I don't recommend it. You know, going back in.
I don't recommend it either, obviously, from a legal perspective, but I am very sympathetic to the emotions that must have been going through his mind. And he's a young guy, right? Is he in his 20s?
I believe he was in his dirt. I believe he was in his 30s, but I would tell, okay. I would encourage our viewers to Google that, because that's all googly.
Anyway, he's a pretty young guy. Right?
Yeah, they're youngish individuals, but you also have to understand the social context that of that time period. Let's rewind the time clock back to October, early October 2020, right? The dominant voice amongst Asian Americans was basically the Boba liberals, right? You had these attacks, and like people were in denial about it. And even Dragon Combat Club technically existed, but even though we existed, we never told people our purpose was to fight, you know, anti-Asian racism, because we were afraid to be vilified. That was so, and we didn't even figure, like, all the stuff that I'm telling you right now, our club never even figured that out yet back during that day.
Yeah, pretty early. This was in early 2020, we said?
Yeah, no, yeah. Early October 2020.
Oh, October 2020. So we had been a year into COVID at that point, right?
A little bit less. Yeah.
And the rhetoric blaming this on Asians was at an all-time high, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it was open season on Asian people. Yes. Nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
This is when we started seeing videos of just random attacks on elderly Asian people. Mm-hmm. I think this action was definitely, and these are five pretty privileged kids from what I understand.
Yes.
Right
after we found, yeah, so very privileged individuals.
These aren't like, well, fucking street thugs. These are like
private. We thought at first we're like, are these just random? But no, they're not. These are people who can really afford that money. So the person who is suing is Jeremiah Wilkins. He attended Friends Seminary. He was actually part, I believe, he, if I'm not mistaken, he was part of their track team. So, and based on what I'm hearing, that tuition is more than $50K a year. It could be $60K. I think it was $53K, $63K, around that much. Yeah. Like, I can't afford that much. That for just a kid's tuition.
They're gonna get enough out of their the civil settlement or the civil lawsuit to pay for all that.
So oh God,
the Young family will be putting that kid through school probably.
Yes. He's still trying to sue for those damages.
He's gonna win.
The other person, two of the attackers went to Friends Seminary. I think two of the other attackers went to NYU Tisch. So you're not, your parents have to be making money to send you through. So you to NYU Tisch. I forgot.
I mean, like these private school kids are I've seen, they're full on fucking degenerates a lot of the times, like they're just fucking sicko kids, and you'll see them as much in private school or elite schools as you will anywhere else. In fact, the entitlement on some of these kids is just fucking through the roof, so
I was actually in, I saw the, speaking of entitlement, right, I was when John Ong was sentenced, me and another DCC had actually showed up there, and we want to listen
for
the sentencing, because I want to know,
like, 2.5 years he got in prison.
Yes. Unfortunately, what happened was that was the day where I think the Ongs were asking for a medical extension, and then the other side obviously said no. But just,
where's he serving that 2.5 years? By the way,
I believe Rikers, but once again, don't quote me on that.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, who knows? Maybe they'll move him to the Chinatown Mega Jail when it's built. Oh God, I can't believe that's still going on. I totally forgot about that.
They're trying to demolish Chinatown. They were hoping COVID would just fucking finish it,
Nope. So none of the five quote-unquote victims or the attackers actually showed up. But you know who showed up? Jeremiah's mom. she basically talked about her son like he was this innocent victim, and how he was being hunted down by a person with a sword.
What do you expect?
My son, he can't work anymore. He
is this one of the white kids or one of the black kids?
Jeremiah, he's black.
Okay.
And then she was like, oh, these five people, because their names are – no, the internet, even though at the time I think it was just four people, they're in fear for their lives. And meanwhile, you see, most of, the people who are supporting Ongs, they're, elderly people. I was like, you're afraid of these people? But apparently they are, because – you saw the courtroom, it was swarm of cops, and they were just all fucking grilling us. They're like, no signs, no phone, no signs. I was like, what signs? Jesus Christ. Like, well, why? Well, it's like Asian people aren't scary until it's convenient to be scared of them.
Well, no one's actually scared of Asian people. This is all just a show. I mean, like, once you get yourself into, look, man, she feels like she probably won the lottery with this shit. You know, it's like, he probably didn't get permanent damage, but they own a building. I mean, this family owns a building in Manhattan. They have assets. They're going to go after it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
My guess is that's probably why the GoFundMe hasn't come up yet, because they're probably trying to figure out, like, hey, how do we, like, get funds that aren't going to go straight to the Wilkins family, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're in a bad spot.
Yep.
I would say that. They're in a pretty bad spot. I mean, they're going to have to argue. They're going to have to get a really sophisticated lawyer. And, you know, when you're playing defense, I mean, they should have countersued. I don't know if they have, but they should. I mean, the guys attacked them. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to countersue, but it sounds like they're not going to do that. So bad move. These guys are making, look, I got to say, I mean, this case is one where they just made bad move after bad move after bad move.
Yeah.
And it's sad because they're the ones that got picked on. It started with them. Mm-hmm. But from a, you know, self-defense perspective, from a legal perspective, they made every mistake in the book. And I don't know. Part of me feels like, you know, it's angry. I'm angered by this case because it's a miscarriage of justice, right?
Yes.
But here's the thing is, like, I don't know. The effect of, I mean, I felt this way long before COVID and the anti-Asian violence, I would call it a wave, you know, but yeah. I don't even know if that wave has passed or not.
COVID era violence, we're still feeling the aftereffects.
Yeah. I think people have their attention turned towards Jews and Muslims now, right? Rather than Asians.
Even our own community. So I know that, like, some of our DCC heads tried to, like, get other, like, activists, like, involved, but that they were too preoccupied with, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, so they couldn't really, like, help out. I don't know who they are, but I know other people have tried to get other orgs, you know, on this, but that didn't work out. Like, some people just didn't want to touch the on case because it's like, oh, it's not black and white for them, but other people, they were just straight up like, oh, we're too busy with Palestine, so I was like,
right. I mean, I want to talk about this case just because, like,
no one else will.
No one else will. And also, yes, that's true. I know. I mean, Safwan Kim has tried, you know, and I just
thought, that's right. Yeah, Bob sued him. Oh my God, I was like, why would you try to sue Safwan Kim?
So I don't know. I just feel like that there's not going to be justice in this case. He's going to prison, which is, to me, unjust, but he's going to prison. The five kids, none of them got, the ones who started this shit and with all their racist bullshit, you know, they're not getting charged with anything because the DA is
what was the exact words? No evidence of criminal.
Was it Vance at the time?
It was Vance at the time, but the current DA basically doubled down on that decision.
Same shit. I mean, you know, they're progressive liberal DAs who don't believe that, look, they ultimately want Asians to be like sort of like a punching bag buffer zone. So whatever violence these kids want to enact, just go enact it on the Chinese people because they're not going to fight back, which they're not. And if they do fight back, trust me, they're going to get fucked. I mean, that's the message being sent. Is like,
that is the message.
Don't fuck with the Chinese because they're pussies and they can't do anything. And if they do anything, we got your back. They're going to go to prison. And that's exactly what happened.
Speaking of prisons, you know, remember back when we had our surge, our, like, you know, like, during COVID, we had multiple surges of anti-Asian attacks. Remember the 2022? What was the thing that those fuckers would always say? The carceral state is not the solution. Like, they would do that, like, you know, in response to anti-Asian attacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, look,
Now is the perfect time to say, hey, this person doesn't deserve jail. Jail is not a solution for this guy, but we don't hear anything from them. So clearly,
they're going to say that this is racist. This is, you know, vigilanteism at its worst. And, you know, violence is not the answer. It's never the, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, I know it's stacked against. Sorry, I just killed a moth. Fantastic.
You see, violence is the answer, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. You know, it's I think we need to do a better job on the legal side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel kind of lame bringing this up because I'm a lawyer and I'm not really doing anything about it other than flapping my lips here. But like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, we have got to have a better legal defense infrastructure in place for people like this. Like we, and you know, the reason we have so many fucking Asian lawyers in the city, like me, you know, but we don't work on this kind of stuff. We go to fancy law schools. We get, you know, we fucking all take the LSAT. We all get licensed. And then we go work for fucking BlackRock, you know, like we don't, you know, people, it's like, I think that they would, I'm not surprised that they had a hard time finding a lawyer who would take the case. And by and large, Asian people don't really care about this stuff. We would look at people like the Ongs and just go, ooh, that's
bad.
That's unfortunate. The way we would see a car accident and then we would just kind of keep going because it's like. I don't really want to get involved. That's trouble. And they're going to get fucked. I mean, I feel really bad for them because they're probably going to be coming to quite a bit of financial ruin because of this. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that he's going to prison for 2.5 years. What happened to the other brother? Did he plead out or did they not charge him? Or what?
Pleaded, but I don't think he has a prison sentence.
Okay, so he got no prison.
He's not the dude with the sword.
He didn't get the sword. Right.
But it's interesting because New York Post originally wrote him as the guy with the sword. And then I think Maxwell was messaged DCC. And I'm like, oh, my bad. Let me fix that. Because, you know. But also the media made it seem like it was a fight, like sort of a mutually consensual fight that happened to end with a sword rather than the fact that the brothers called 911 for a while and were called these racial slurs. So there was a lot of intentional media in Mr. Fish back in the day. Am I surprised as someone who got screwed over on New York Magazine? Absolutely not. But, you know, just wanted to remind people that this is a constant thing.
It's infuriating, but I've changed my mindset, man. Like, I believe now, and I've believed this for a while, I mean, before COVID and all this shit happened, but I believe it even more because of stuff like this, that you just... particularly as members of communities that really don't have any we have neither political nor legal strength. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't have physical strength in the sense that we're not a particularly we're not a particularly violent group of people, so no one's scared of us at that level. We don't have good legal representation, so no one's scared at that level. And we don't have good political representation, so no one's scared at that level either. Right. What we do have is a lot of cash and property, so that makes us good targets. That's why we get fucked with. We're weak and we're juicy. You know.
Yeah. Oh, you and know. So, I thought you were gonna say Magneto was right, but yeah, never mind.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
No. Yeah. You know. But the idea that you know that hey, this is a situation where you gotta fight back. You know, there's no, you know, being nice about it, and you know, being nice, but hasn't really. I mean, cooperation with others has been that's a thing, right? But I feel like,
well, I think what I'm saying is that I think this message of you got to fight back is a. I think of that as a mere slogan. It sounds good.
It's a slogan. It could be just a slogan, but and it, like even for me. Like, as somebody who believes in that slogan, it's been tiring getting that to happen, right? It's been very tricky.
Well, no, I believe in it. I believe in it as a principle and mm-hmm. as a slogan, but I don't believe that I don't believe that it's fully fleshed out in the sense that I don't think it means much on its own. Like, what do we mean by fight back? You know?
I agree. Because even when you go on, like, you know, social media and people are just like, oh, does that mean you can't defend yourself anymore? I was like, no, that's not what it means. It means that your margin of error is significantly lower. Like, you can't, you know, you can't, like, you can make more strategic mistakes defending yourself if you're, I don't know, like, if your mom is rich enough to send you to private school and you're one of the five kids versus, you know, if you're one of us.
Also, right? let's be clear. The self-defense, the claim of self-defense as a legal defense to an assault charge is, or whatever. I mean, I don't know if they, did they ever try to hit him with like attempted homicide or anything? I don't know.
Yes. I believe that's what happened with the dude with the sword.
Yeah. So if you're going to go after someone with a sword, they're going to claim that it's an attempted murder.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to claim self-defense, the flippant remark by the random commenter on the internet isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
The legal definition of self-defense is actually extremely restrictive. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that video, I was like, yeah, that's not self-defense. I mean, he's clearly beyond that. That person is leaving the scene.
Yes.
It's over. Mm-hmm. You're running after him I'm not saying he's wrong in a sense of, you know, like if things
from like a who was at perspective,
fault, but from a lead, look, like the law doesn't care. It's an elements based thing, right?
Yes, it is.
He was not engaging in self defense under the law. I'm sorry, but anyone can see that. There's really no basis for a self defense claim here.
And a lot of people,
you know, I'm just saying that because I think when members of the community raise, when they start saying stuff like, "Oh, so I guess self defense isn't, you know, allowed in New York," okay, I'll accept that as a general remark, but if we're talking seriously about how things really work and how to protect yourself out there, both physically and legally, okay, both physically and legally, right? I'm not going to let that comment go because I'm like, guys, you got to understand what self-defense means.
Yes. For your sake.
Under the law. It's a self-defense as a martial arts term is a very different meaning than self-defense under the law.
Yes,
those are very different things.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you know, a lot of people have asked, is it because of a sword? It's really the idea is that the weapon was not on him, right? If he was getting jumped and then suddenly, you know, he pulled out, you know, let's just say a knife, you know, I know New York has the 4-inch rule and whatnot, and it happened to be on him. Well, guess what? That you could have made a better legal argument for self-defense than like going home and getting something. Like I said, you know, that
well, it is- look, if they were, let's say they were beating up one of the brothers and they were kicking the shit out of him, and the guy goes in, the other brother goes in to the house, gets a knife or a sword or whatever, a gun, comes out and is using that weapon to protect his brother. That's different. But if these guys are fleeing, if they're already leaving, you can't chase them down.
Yeah, then that's just revenge. That's just, at that point.
That's just revenge at that point. Now, that's really – now, here's the thing, though, right? Henry, is I think that these things need to be part of the mix of training in the sense because, like, the normal mammalian brain of your average person is not going to make this distinction emotionally and from, like, a sort of justice perspective.
I totally –
those motherfuckers deserved it. I wish he cut his fucking head off, to be honest.
I had those moments too. Okay. And, you know, I had those – like, there was one time – so I think the most prominent example of this was it was the end of 2021. This was Elmhurst Avenue Station. And my wife – well, she was my fiance at the time, but, you know, I just called her my wife. We got out of train, and we saw this guy – yelling, and then basically he took swings at me. So I dodged them. One of them was I dodged. The other one, he just had really terrible aim. And then I moved quickly away, and I pulled out my pepper spray. And then he just froze. He kind of froze there. And then he was also conveniently, his back was basically at the edge of the platform. So at that moment, he froze, right? Deep down, I wanted to pull the trigger and kick him off the platform. Because guess what? You took swings at me. Obviously, you know, like deep, like you said, mammalian brain. I really wanted to, you know, get him back. But then the other part of me was like, no, it's over, right? It's a wrap. He froze. He doesn't want it anymore. And then, you know, in the end, I let him walk away. And then my wife, like, she spent like the next hour or two calming me down, telling me, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, you did what you had to do, you know. There's no need for that. But think about it, right? I had enough training to actually get to the weapon. I had enough training to stay composed, to make that right decision, and to not act on impulse afterwards. And I also had social supports afterwards. Not everyone has that. So.
Yeah, but I do think that in that this case makes me feel like people need – like the message needs to be – put out there to the extent that it can, mm-hmm. that, how do I put this? Dude, I don't know, man. It goes pretty deep. Like
it's deep in a sense.
It's deep in, the, no, it's, too. No, hold on. It's deep in the sense that, like, I don't know, man. It makes me feel like as Asian people in America, and it's not just us, uh-huh. but I do feel this way for Asian people in America, is like, we gotta just abandon the notion of justice. You gotta abandon the notion of justice. You can't expect it. You can't. I think a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. comes from the expectation of justice as a core value of where we live in a and access to justice as a byproduct or a result or maybe even just an effect, you know, of being full members of society. And so when we don't get justice, it angers us not just because of the injustice. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't happen to me, right? It didn't happen to me, but it reminds me that, oh, Asian people, there's a double standard. And it makes me extra angry because it always happens like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens? What happens after these things is people get really angry. They're operating off of emotion, mm-hmm. which doesn't last. We calm down, right? Mm-hmm. But we have an outburst of emotion, and everyone is... at demanding justice, because our outrage is based off of a sense of injustice. And I've seen this fucking football pulled enough times, the way Charlie Brown goes for the football every time and gets tricked. There is no fucking justice. There is no fucking justice. This thing played out exactly as it was supposed to have played out. Mm-hmm. Those guys got played for as fools. Okay. And that's just fucking how it is. And we got to get our mind around that rather than continuing to have these, I frankly, naive attachments to the expectation of justice in the society. No, I think you got to walk around careful and somewhat paranoid that nobody gives a shit about you. And if you got to call 911, don't expect help. I've called 911 in the past. They don't help you. I don't think they knew I was Asian at all, and they still won't help you. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? Like, it's a free-for-all, man. It's a fucking free-for-all out there. And our attachments, because organizations, Asian American orgs are so often justice-oriented, you know, I feel like they're just tired and unmotivated.
Point? I don't even know what this means. I'm like, I don't even know what this means, you know, when I say I'm for justice, I'm for justice.
It's what meaningless, right?
It is, and you know, or even like empowerment. Like, what the hell does that even mean at this point?
Yeah, just shut the fuck up. Let's get real about the situation. There never was justice for Asian people in America. Mm-hmm. There never has been. And mm-hmm. the only thing, honestly, it's like once we get our heads wrapped around that, I think we can finally understand, like, welcome to America. It's not just that there's no justice for Asians, right? There's no justice for a lot of people. Like, this is not a very unjust society all around. And I don't want, I honestly feel like, dude, like, the more Asian American activism there is, the more they're making us stay naive and vulnerable, because that's what they like out of. They want us to be naive and vulnerable. They want us to believe in justice. They want us to get mad every time there's a miscarriage of justice, and they want us chasing our own fucking tails. And I'm like, no, we need to get real. We need to deploy fucking legal training. We need to have legal infrastructure. We need to have all that shit in place, because when the cards come down to it, it's about resources and organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's survival. That's not justice. That's not empowerment. No, that's just survival, right? Yes. That's what I've been doing. That's also why, like,
I supported you guys. That, you know, that's why I was like, yeah, look, I mean, let's be real. Like, at the end of the day, you might have to fucking protect yourself. That's just how it is. And I don't care if you think it's ugly or not, but I'd rather know how to throw a punch or dodge one than not. Simple. Yeah. You know,
this is a lot. And what's very interesting is that a lot of people don't, as somebody who's been doing like workshops, you know, for the last 3 years. It's very fascinating to, and also a little disheartening to realize how little, how a lot of people, they don't know how ugly things can get. They don't even know how physical things need to get. They don't know how tiring things can get. And also they don't realize, you know, how short your life expectancy is once things get violent. And those are like one of the most important things that I showed them. And I feel, and that's also part of why I haven't been as vocal about this lately, because I realized that if you don't ever experience these things, your frame of reference, you're never going to have the right frame of reference to understand where we're coming from. Like, you know, it's a, so that's why it's better for me to show people what violence feels like and what it looks like, rather than to go on, you know, Twitter and be like, hey, how come these people, you know, don't understand this, this, and that? Well, I know why. They haven't felt it viscerally.
Yeah, I'm just tired of the whole fucking activist infrastructure where it's all about hope and change and good vibes and stuff. And I'm like, where do you get off? Where the fuck do you get off selling these ideas to people?
Also, what does that mean tangibly? Like, what does that mean tangibly? Like, maybe it's because I'm autistic, or maybe it's just bullshit. I don't know.
I mean, it could be both, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Why not both?
No, why not both? But like, you know, in which case your autism is fucking adaptive, you know?
In this particular context, because we're all brain – because I've realized like people are A, brainwashed to, you know, accept anti-Asian racism, and B, they're almost brainwashed to like accept these empty slogans that during life and death situations. Right, empty slogans might be good, you know, if you want like a little boost for your, you know, emotions. But in a situation where, you know, people can live or die, like that's not, you can't live by these empty slogans. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the cards are stacked. And here's the thing, man, is like, I feel like actually, like this hope and justice bullshit is. It actually is counterproductive also in the sense that I think it actually makes Asian people feel even more hopeless, because they keep sending the message that, I mean, the subtext of this is that Asian people are hated, are there's a double standard against us. Everyone else has a fair day in court except for us, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not true, mm-hmm. Right? This is a society where I think there's a lot of vulnerable groups. And they get targeted in different ways. There's a specific method by which we get targeted.
Yes.
But there's specific methods by which other groups get targeted. And there's overlap. I mean, you know, this happens to other groups too.
That's also why DCC is so diverse. You know, because there's so much overlap in the way society fucks other people over. Therefore, you know, they come to us because they see commonalities. They see how our resources can help them. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, come on in.
And that's the thing, is that when you sell hope and justice and shit, when it doesn't work out, I feel like we feel very abandoned and alone and lied to. When you tell the truth about that the society is totally corrupt, our city, the prosecutors are utterly corrupt. I mean, without, there's no hope. Mm-hmm. For the system. Stop. Let's not set ourselves about some reform project, and let's start, you know, voting in our people. I mean, there's a time and a place for that, but let's not hang any hope on that approach. Like, the whole system's fucked. If we get a friendly person in there, that person's going to get corrupted and fucked anyway. So, you know,
I agree.
So my point is that, and I'm just echoing what you're saying, Hen, is that I feel more integrated and in solidarity with other groups in America, other races of people, just other groups of people, right? Yeah. Whether it's black people or whether it's gay people or whatever it is, immigrants, what have you. Shit, even poor whites, I don't care, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, if I accept the world for what it is, which is a place where justice does not exist, where the systems by which you think protect you are actually don't give a fuck about you, and in fact are trying to prey on you, if you understand these things and just let go of all this childish fucking social justice activist shit, that they sell to you, I think you feel much less alone, because a lot of people feel that way right now.
Yes. It also gives you a sense of freedom, because now you can act responsibly. You can act intelligently. And then without disappointment, you can just focus your energy towards people who actually care about you. Who
you know, having your whole world blow up in your face because things didn't work out. You know, you're not going to be shocked or super, you're not going to be traumatized by the disruption to how you perceive the world, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's better to just be realistic.
Hey, remember back during the premiere for I'm Not Activist, I think you asked me the question, you know, about that line I said in the movie where I was like, those who claim to speak for us, they will let us die. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I kind of gave a speech that was appropriate for, like, you know, that audience, you know, for the time that, because we had to go to a bar, we had to go eat afterwards. In the last few months, I actually wrote a full memoir.
That was a fun night, by the way. Still remember
that was a fun night, lovely night. So thank you so much for you and Dan.
I mean, you guys brought a lot of people. It was really fun. It made the party. But anyway,
They were just like, the story has to be told and whatnot. And so this is the story that I've been writing for the last few months, and it's going to come out in a few weeks. It is that story, right? It's the rest of the story. It's also how I really came to that conclusion of how, you know, those who claim to speak first, they will let us die, and also how we're gonna learn how to live under those circumstances as well. I'll be putting on my Instagram very soon. The story is called Ivory Fall. Why is it called Ivory Fall? I'll leave that to the readers to figure out.
Ivory Fall.
Yes,
Ivory Fall. Ivory Fall, like ivory as in
the ivory tower.
Ivory tower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously So for those who have been following, Teen will be in it, Tanchen will be in it, but also a lot, all the people who, you know, you saw the documentary, you'll see a lot of their fleshed out backstories and the things they did to train other people. And also some of the near death experiences that we couldn't capture on camera that did happen. You'll get to read about them as well.
Are you going to flip a link to me that I put in the show notes or what?
I'll just give you my Instagram. I'm going to pull, cause you know, I'll just,
right. just flip me some links and I'll put it in the show notes.
And, you know, it is a very hard, you know, as someone who is a school psychologist, you know, I went through, I'm just like, hey, how do we keep talking about this? How do we keep doing something real about it without traumatizing people? And what I realize is that a lot of people avoid trauma by sort of selling this hope, right? By selling these sort of empty terms. And for me, I realize the way to do something about it is to just do something tangible, but make it fun, right? Make people, you know, faster, smarter, stronger, more resilient, and also make it fun. You know, that's the short term for it. That's the short way of me describing it. It's not healthy to mope about this forever. And like, because we're never, like you said, we're never going to get justice. It's always going to be unfair. This is an uphill battle. So, and then we kind of just hope for these.
That's the thing about the shitlib fucking discourse that I hate so much. Because if you and I were just typical fucking shitlibs, you know what we'd be talking about? We'd be talking about, you know, is there any way to raise awareness? Is there any way to, you know, I think what we need to do is make our voices heard and, you know, just educate people about, you know, just like bullshit, like fucking bullshit. And well,
we had our awareness back in 2022. Right? Yeah. 2022, we finally got our awareness. I think mid-2022 but it's like, where did that get us?
You know, the only thing I would say is I was talking to someone the other day, not an Asian person, and they were asking me like, when or why did I start this pod? And I said, during Trump, but then, you know, and then I got to the point where I was talking about, you know, how there was this wave of anti-Asian violence, and this person said, oh yeah, that was a big thing. Made me realize, like, you know, to a lot of people, like, this, it seems like it's like transitory inflation, you know. It was like a mass delirium of anti-Asian feelings popped up, and then everyone started beating up Asian people, and then now it's passed and we're fine now. And my, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't care whether the intensity of anti-Asian violence is as high as it once was. I want that time to permanently and irrevocably change the mindset of Asian people in America. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if it's still going on or not. It's like, we've got to change the way we think.
We've got to adapt forever. So it doesn't happen again. So yeah, we don't get another one of those surges. And like, did we get those irrevocable change? For some individuals, it did change, right? Obviously, they're DCC volunteer instructors now. You know, there are people who are still helping out the community. And at the same time, I think for all the people that our quote-unquote awareness has spread to, no, not at all. Not at all. And
I'm not, you know, here's the thing is like, you do your part.
Yeah.
I try, man. I'm not putting a full effort in. You guys do a lot. I'm not out there on the weekends with you guys. Like, you know, I do what I can,
yeah,
but I'm not exactly, you know, going all out. But here's what I'll say is, I think like we all got to try to the extent that we can do what we can. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, either you get it and that's great and let's be part of the community of people that cares.
Yeah.
But if you're one of these people, these people who just doesn't care, like just refuses to change, refuses to revise your perceptions, refuses. I'm kind of like, look, I don't give a shit about you.
I agree.
Honestly, I don't care. I don't care that you're Asian. I don't have time for this shit.
I agree, because also we have enough people who do care. We have enough people who do care.
Exactly.
Asian and non-Asian.
Yes.
You know what's funny about the last thing? So I know with recently –
we ain't Asian Jesus.
Yes. Okay. Right? One of the interesting things I've seen on social media, and like I don't really care for it, was that there's a lot of people complaining. It's like, oh, how come there are these Asian people who only care about like trending popular things but not our own community? And I'm just like – and like, oh, you know what? If only you cared about us. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's not what it's cracked up to be, right? There was a day that those people cared about our community was trending. Now it's 2022. And honestly, in all my years doing volunteer work, training the community, that was the year where I had to like these were people with like room temperature fight IQs. I don't know how else to put it. Like that was the year when I had to answer like the dumbest questions. Like, yes, you have to hurt your attacker, and you know we would give these like metal stabbing things. I was like, no, you can't eat this. No, you don't shove it up your ass. Yes, you're supposed to stab. And I'm just like, I understand it as an instructor. They're not going to know everything, but that was the year where I was explaining all these things to people that I thought that anyone with common sense would know. And these are the kind of people who are going for those popular trending movements instead of us. And I was like, no, I don't miss this attention at all. I don't miss those people at all. They're not going to make me any safer.
Yeah, it's a thing where I'm like, you know, perhaps it's just a case where we are people of limited means and limited reach, and you know we do what we can, but it's small. Like I can't, and you can't do that much at the end of the day. But we can focus our attention on the people that we care about.
Yes, and the people who care about us, and also other people.
I mean, it ultimately starts, I think, is like it is ultimately self-help, and everyone's got to be really smart. And they've got to protect. Don't protect. You can't protect the whole community. You have to protect your people, your family, right? Your children, then, your wife, your parents,
your connections,
your siblings.
Then the people.
Yeah.
And then the people who listen to you, the people who come to you and respect your advice and respect what you've done. And then you start from there, and then you know you start building a less broad wave. But yeah, you can't do the whole community at once. I used to think I could, but now I'm just like, nah. I'm human being, you know. Doesn't matter what I got. We're all human beings. That's all we could
do. So I feel terrible for the Ongs. I do. Yeah. I think that we need to learn from what happened to them and be realistic about the lesson. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, and I hope that they get. I hope that they lawyer up. I hope that they're able to fend off, at least. The criminal part is just really infuriating. But it's not the end of the world. I mean, he didn't get hit with like the worst of it. I think they
right because he pled guilty. but that's also why too.
He pled guilty. Yeah, you know, 2.5 years in prison is a lot. But they could have tried and hit him with more on the attempted murder charge. It sounds like, you know, they kind of didn't go that route.
Yeah, they wanted to stay out of. I think part of it was that. Yeah, I remember they said they wanted to stay out of prison so that they could actually be there for their mom.
Yeah. So, you know, goddamn, like it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough, and especially in America, where if they were in a different state, they could have probably shot those guys in the back of the head and be okay. Assuming, you know, assuming that they weren't Asian, because Asians are never allowed to do anything. But I don't know. Maybe in Texas, they're down enough with this, you know, this castle doctrine that they could, that Asian people might actually be able to defend their property down there.
We won't know until someone fucks around and finds out, right? Fucks
around and finds out. Yeah, but see, a lot of times what you get is you get like a, I've seen many videos actually of Chinese people defending their homes, including one where like a drunk Mexican dude broke into the guy's house and was with a knife, I believe, and was trying to kill the, he just walked in and it was just like wrestled the man of the house to the ground. And the guy was shouting to his wife. His wife ran upstairs. Baby, was that in Texas?
Hey, what's up? Good to hear from you again.
Was that in Texas? The one where the woman goes up and shoots him. Do you remember? She goes upstairs and gets a gun. And then she runs. The guy's like beating the husband up. And then she runs upstairs, gets a gun, comes down and just shoots him. California. Okay. Yeah. That's yo, awful. This woman, yo, the wife, holy shit. No hesitation, dude. This guy's all over her husband, drunk, just random fucking guy trying to kill her husband. She runs upstairs, gets the gun, comes downstairs, point blank, terminates him.
That's what you gotta do. Holy shit. Remember DCC's original slogan? Violent problems require violent solutions.
Well, she out-violenced all of them and just terminated him with no fucking hesitation.
Well, that was the context that they were in. That she did what was appropriate based on that particular context at the right time. You know, props to her. Props to her.
And she was probably in a state. I mean, here's the thing, because she killed a Mexican, where the white DA is probably like, oh, I like it, you know. you know, like it's how it works, you know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But the you know, in that case, I'm sure the DA took one look at the video and was like, holy shit, that's a good kill.
Yeah, look, you know, there's multiple layers to it, but look, she did what she had to do. I'm sure hopefully she got therapy for that too, as well. I really hope so. Yeah. If you look, and as horrible as it is, I don't want to downplay it. If you look at like what's happened to our community at, you know, the last 4 years, and you ask yourself, what has actually been effective at curbing this violence or reducing number of attacks? The only thing, and you can disagree with me, from my perspective, the only thing that has been successful was not the awareness branding campaign. It was the fact that more people had access to self-defense tools. You know how the flashlight works. You know how the pen works. You know how the spray works. You know how to carry it on you. You know how to keep that person, that stranger, away from you. You know how to keep your pants in front of you. You know how to get to that tool in time and quickly enough, right? And, you know, there was a time where our chat rooms were buzzing with stories about how people were able to do that. And that's what we mean by, you know, violent problems require violent solutions, right? Because those were the things that actually deterred attacks. Those were the things that kept us safer. Not the hashtags, not the whole, like, not the rallies, not the whole, oh, we need to spread awareness and have our voices heard. No, that form of deterrence was the primary thing that kept me alive and kept my friends alive.
I agree. I'm just saying that with the Ong situation, that where my perspective on this is more from the legal side.
Oh yeah.
And I'm saying that when you say violent problems require violent solutions, I understand that there is a meaning behind that. There is a ethic behind that, but that is not that practical advice.
Yeah. Is it practical advice? Well, like I well, in that case, well, none of our guys were chasing people down with weapons. We weren't chasing them down, right? No,
but I'm saying that we've got to clarify what this means, which is that violence is not a good thing. It is sometimes a necessary thing, But other times, and unfortunately, this is what the point I'm trying to make about letting go, abandoning these ideas of justice.
Yeah,
is that we can't get, honestly, we've got to be, we can't get too angry about racism.
Yeah, well,
that's my point. We can't lose our fucking minds when someone calls us a chink.
Yes.
We can't lose our mind when fucking, you know, bratty white and black boys come after your boys and start calling them racial epithets while beating them up. We can't overreact. And I do mean overreact. And what does overreact mean? Means you lose your sense of, like, you lose your sense of acting smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
You make bad strategic decisions.
Make bad strategic decisions because they won. Because the reason that they're calling you a chink, the reason that they're doing that is to provoke your anger and make you act dumb.
Yes.
I think that one of the things that I think is very important is to, you know, the Black Panthers did this. The Black Panthers did this. They would have trainings where people would just shout the most racist shit at them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and just scream racial epithets at them. And they would have to sit and just take it because they were saying, do not, you don't even, you should get to the point where your heartbeat doesn't even really go up because you just know this underneath it all, that's what they're thinking and saying anyway. Right. So part of it is to not absolutely lose your cool the second someone calls you a chink. And I think that that's some bobolib shit is when you're just hypersensitive to racism, where I think the reality is we should be prepared to be like, look, we live in a racist world, mm-hmm. and sometimes people are going to let a C word fly.
Yeah,
I agree. Fly. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, because obviously we want to make sure, remind people, no, it's not okay. It's absolutely not okay. Yeah, you're right. Well, there's nothing in the world where you should be too angry with because you lose your fight IQ. And we have to remember that we are living in a society that, you know, is violent against us, right? It's, you know, right? It's you're in fight or you're in fight mode. And guess what? In a fight, even in a fight or in a kind of war, you cannot overcommit. You cannot be too angry about things because that means that, like you said, you make bad choices. You leave openings for people to attack you. You make very poor calculations, right? And you also give your intentions to your enemy. And those are all things that put you and your loved ones in danger. So
yeah, I mean, just think about it. Why is it, you know, in the pre-fight, in sort of like the pre-fight hype for a big boxing match, you know, they're going to start insulting each other, mm-hmm. insulting each other's mothers or wives or making racial epithets or digging up your history and trying to hit you with some personal attack. Like, why do they do that? Because they know. And why do they trash? You know, why did Jordan talk trash? You know, a lot of this is to realize that, like, if I can get you mad, mm-hmm. I have the advantage. If I can get you riled up and emotionally discombobulated, I have the advantage because the second you get like that, you're not under control anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm under control. I'm cool. I'm calm. I'm observant. I'm aware. Mm-hmm. And you're flying around like a fucking Tasmanian devil, and I'm going to kick your ass, you know?
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, more and more, you know, not just the people listening to the podcast see it this way, you know, and that's why, you know, I run these trainings too, you know, learn how to just stay calm during stressful situations. Cause that has been what has kept, you know, a lot of people alive here, you know, aside from, you know, my slogan, right? Being able to stay calm, being able to act quickly, being able to be observant, right? It's kept people out of the morgue. And also, very importantly, it's kept people out of jail. At the end of the day, like, we have to remember that we're trying to not only prevent the next Christina Unilee tragedy, we're also trying to make sure that we're doing what it takes to keep ourselves alive while preventing a similar situation such as John Ong and also Max Ong as well.
Yep. For sure. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to, oh yeah, my wife just, showed me this, story. It was in California where this happened back in September of 2022. Yeah. So this was during COVID days.
Yeah. So the last time I was in your pocket, So for those who are interested in coming to Dragon Comic Club, we have our regular practice every Friday from 6 to 8 PM, at Gantry Plaza State Park. They're free. Donations.
Where's that?
Long Island City. So it's on Vernon. It's near Vernon Jackson Boulevard on the 7 Line.
On the water.
Yes, on the water. Beautiful view. You know, it's a great view. You'll feel the wind. Also, big crowd, a lot of good open space. So that's right on Fridays. And then we're doing the last of our three self-defense workshops at Globe Cultural Center this Saturday as well. Details are going to be on my Instagram. So, yeah, come on. So for those listeners who really want to learn how to protect yourself and also be able to protect others and just be knowledgeable about the things on the concepts and skilled in being able to survive in New York City, come by, you know, let them know that Teen introduced you, and I'll be happy to work with you.
All right, man. Hen, as usual, appreciate you. Appreciate the work that you guys are doing. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You know, we should catch up sooner than we did between this one and the last one, you know?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you and your wife come to practice sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I always say it and then I don't, but I will.
Yeah, I believe you. Hopefully see you later.
All right, man.
All right, take care. We'll be right back.